welcome to the third episode of Southern Twang. I am so excited to be here, you guys. I have the myth, the legend, the Alton Porter. He is widely popular in Houston County. He is the one of two reporters here at the Houston County Courier, and I talked him into being our featured guest today. So, welcome, Alton.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Megan.
I am. So getting Alton on this podcast was, I tricked him into it, and he's just smiling.
Yes. Yes, you did. Yes. This is a new area for me. This is my first time doing this.
You need to have a podcast just for you. Oh. Because your voice is like butter.
Well, there's something to consider.
And you are going to be in the up-performing performance of The In Crowd.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. The In Crowd community in Crockett, it's been going on for a few years now. I got involved 2 years ago.
Okay.
What it is, it's a unique telling or reenactment of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It was, and it's grown bigger and bigger. Each year that I got involved, the first year it was, we packed a house. So the second year I was involved, we had to have two nights. We packed the house both nights. So this year we're going to the group. That was at first United Methodist Church, that Family Life Center. Mm-hmm. But we outgrew that. So this year, we're going to be for two nights at Crockett Civic Center. And like I say, it's the story of the birth of Christ told in a unique way. And we get the audience involved. They even have a meal as a part of the performance. And it's a wonderful program. And I've enjoyed being a part of it.
So I just had an interview with Susan and Bob. They're the producers of
The Woolseys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I might be a handmaiden.
Oh, that'll be great. It'll be great to have you part of it.
She doesn't have a speaking part, so maybe. Yes.
Well, I have two parts. One is a speaking part and one is a non-speaking part.
Okay, what are your roles?
Well, one of them is as what they call a prophetic reader, and I do a scripture that's done in the Bible. The other one, the non-speaking part, and in that part, I hold up a banner, and I'm dressed out in costume, in different costumes in each part, but yes, I have a speaking part and a non-speaking part.
Yeah, no, because I've heard about The In Crowd for over a year now, but I just thought it was like a story tell. Mm-hmm. But these, like Susan was talking, they put like rap and R&B and just blues and gospel and classical. And I was like, this is so cool. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yes, it's there are a number of generations that are involved in it. And it's just a good, to appeal to a large audience. There's different aspects of it that appeal to each individual aspect of the local audience.
Yeah. So that is November 30th and December 1st at 6 p.m. at the Crockett Civic Center. So everybody come out to that. Yes. And it is free admission. They have spots for 400 people in the Civic Center. So how long have you been part of it? For 5 years?
2 years. Actually, 2 years.
Okay.
Yes. This will be my third year.
Is it, just last question on that, is it cool to see it grow? Has it been neat to see it grow?
Yes.
Like The In Crowd?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Okay, Alton. So people read your stories, they see your pictures, but who are you? Can you tell me about yourself?
Well, I'll try. Well, I grew up in Crockett, so I am. This is home for me.
Born and raised?
Born and raised. I graduated from Crockett High School, and I moved away, and I have, even though this is home, I was away for about 40 years. So I moved back this is my fourth year, four years ago. And I work for the Courier, as you've already mentioned, as a reporter, cover different types of meetings, government meetings, civic meetings, and actually do other stories, feature stories. But as a reporter, it covers a lot of territory, so we get to do quite a bit of things. It's been good.
Yeah, like as a weekly paper, if you're in a big daily, you have like education beats, politics, but you do everything.
Yes,
you're in the courtroom. Here and there at the city council meetings.
Yes, yes. Right. We get to do a wide variety of things. Mm-hmm. So there's never a dull moment.
I know, especially, so I came to the Houston County Courier in July, and then Kay came in June. Kay, Fathery, we're both writers. And so now we're going other places where you used to go, and people are like, where's Alton? Is he okay?
Well, I take that, I humbly take that as a compliment.
I know. People love you.
Well.
So you're a lovable person.
Well, hopefully.
So you cover all of these stories. Like, what is your favorite thing to cover?
I guess probably my biggest is to cover political-oriented stuff. That's kind of what I got my start doing. And so that's what I probably enjoy doing the most. Mm-hmm. It's the politics, like election coverage, election night coverage, seeing who's going to be the winner, being excited about that. And next to that, with covering some of the governmental meetings, as you mentioned, the city council meetings, commissioners' court meetings, the school district, school board meetings, and meetings of that sort. That's kind of my, I would say my forte, but it's what I enjoy doing probably the most.
It is your forte.
Yes.
Especially in Crockett, like the past few months, there's been a lot of upheaval, I guess is the word.
That's a good description.
And with the election nights, I mean, political season is crazy. Yes. That's not my forte. That's probably where I'm weakest. Here, the national media gives small town reporters a bad name. Like, how did you balance all of that and stay fair? Like, when you're in the city council meetings and when you're going to political functions, like, what's your mindset going in?
Well, I think you just hit it on the head, is to be fair and objective. You know, as a journalist, you know, that's one of our things that we try to live up to, is to be fair, to be objective, to not lean either to the left or to the right, but just be as straightforward and as fair as possible, and to not take sides. And that's something I guess we have to acquire, because before we go into it, we have some opinion one way or the other, but we have to just back away from that, back away from the edges, so to say, you know, just stay toward the middle and respect and appreciate both sides and do our best to cover both sides, because, you know, in any argument, there's at least two sides. So we have to be professional and be mature and hear both sides and give them both their just due.
Amen. Now, that's one of, if you want to get underneath my skin, you say that I am leaning on towards one side, because it's like so important as journalists to be fair, to be adequate of both sides and not lean left or right.
Yes. You know, because we have in our readership, that the people who read our paper, we have people on various sides, on different sides. We owe it to them. To be fair and to present their side of the story as well. And that is important to us. For our credibility, you know, for us to be a credible newspaper, then we have to strive to be as fair as we possibly can be and objective as we possibly can.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So how many stories do you think you've covered throughout your career?
Now, that's a good question. and I don't have any idea just how many, but many. I'll just put it that way. A whole lot.
Do you have a favorite story that you've covered that you're just like really proud of, that you fell in love with?
Well, I tell you, the one of the funniest stories, and maybe it shouldn't be funny, but it happened some years ago, and this was actually in Illinois. And it's one that stands out to me because it was kind of a daring, blazing act that a politician did. It was a city mayor's election, and there was a well-known candidate in the election, and there were several opponents running for the office of mayor. And what one of the candidates was so brazen enough to do was to go out and find someone who had the same name of this very popular candidate who was leading the race, find someone with that same name, get him to agree to get on the ballot, to split up the vote, to confuse people and to split up the vote. So he got this person who was many years retired, you know, and had no interest in politics and had no understanding of politics, but he allowed this candidate to borrow his name to put on the ballot, to dilute the vote for this popular candidate. And that, to me, it was, I guess it was funny in the sense that it was so brazen that I couldn't believe someone would do it, yet they were doing it. And that just goes to show you the extent that some people would go to get elected or to campaign, to win votes. So I just couldn't believe it. I was much, much younger at that time. So I guess at that time, it was sort of funny to me that someone would do something like that. But it's, you know, looking back in retrospect, it just shows us how some people will be in to get elected.
Because sometimes you just have to find the humor in it, especially covering like cops or accidents. Not that there's humor in it, but you've got to find a way to relieve your mind.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And that was one of my, well, it wasn't my very first assignment, but you mentioned the police beat. That was one of, probably my second big assignment, mm-hmm. was to cover the police news and city police, county deputies, and some of their stories, some of the events that they, some of the occurrences that mm-hmm. they covered. So it was quite eye-opening, mm-hmm. you know, to do that. And it was a good experience. I learned a lot from doing that.
So you want to take over the cops?
I think I had my share, my fair of it, when I was much younger.
Where were you writing?
At that time, I was in Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know where Nauvoo, Illinois is?
What is it?
Nauvoo.
Now, I've heard of it, but I can't say that I know a lot about it, but I have heard of it.
Okay. Do you know where Quincy?
Quincy, yes.
Okay. It's like 10 minutes. That's like my favorite place in the world.
Oh, yes.
I love the Midwest.
Yes. I enjoyed the Midwest, mm-hmm. Midwest myself.
How, like, versus, like, journalism up there versus journalism here, is it about the same?
I would say it is. You know, for the most part, it's... That wasn't a big difference because mm-hmm. I attended school both here in Texas and I attended school there in the Midwest. And of course, Chicago politics has a big reputation, mm-hmm. Especially during the Mayor Daley year. It just really has this reputation that transcends throughout the state.
Yeah.
When I was in Illinois, in school, I was in Southern Illinois. Mm-hmm. But even down, all the way down to the bottom of Illinois, Chicago was up at the top, all the way up north. And I was in school in Southern Illinois, all the way at the bottom. But it was so overwhelming how Chicago politics and the coverage of Chicago politics transcended all the way down to the southern tip. But in answer to your question, is it pretty similar? I would say it pretty much is. There's the standards that we live by and work by here in Texas are pretty mm-hmm. much pretty similar to what they are in the Midwest.
Okay. So when did you start writing for the Houston County Courier?
Okay. Yes, I started for the Courier in May of 2016. Mm-hmm. So, and I came on board at that time. I've been here since then.
Okay. And one of your, one of the stories that Tony, she's our manager, I'm here at the Courier. You, like within like your first few days, you broke your wrist.
Oh, yes, it's funny now. It wasn't so funny at the time. But yes, I was going to an assignment and I was backing up. I'll go ahead and just tell you the story.
Okay.
I'll keep it brief. But that was this pack of dogs, you know, mm-hmm. and I didn't know whether they were vicious dogs that would bite or not.
Yeah.
But I started backing away from them and I tripped and I fell. And I thought it was a pretty easy fall. You know, I didn't think it was anything major. But right as I got up, I could feel pain in my wrist mm-hmm. and I could see it had swollen. So it was pretty bad, but I figured I had to get the story because I was there to, you know, on an assignment and I wouldn't dare leave the assignment till it was done. So I went ahead and interviewed. I was actually interviewing some cowboys for a series that we were doing. So I stayed there with them. I took my pictures and I did my interview, collected all of my information and then drove immediately to the emergency room afterwards. It. So, and I didn't know at that time to what extent the wrist injury was. I thought it was just something that I would easily get over. But lo and behold, the doctor told me that I had fractured my wrist. On both sides, I had fractured bones. So
that talks about your dedication to the job.
I think all of us journalists all we wanted. The story and the assignment is the most important thing, you know, when we are on assignment.
Yes and no. I don't know what to say, but take care of your wrist.
Yes.
Don't let that happen again.
Yes, I learned from that experience.
How did you, because it hurt, right?
It did hurt.
How did you mentally stay?
Well, I tried to stay focused on what I was doing, what mm-hmm. I was there for. I was there to get a story. I guess I had made a commitment to get that story. Mm-hmm. And then the source of information, my sources, they were just so compelling and they were just so accommodating because they realized that I was going through something. Mm-hmm. But so they tried to make it as easy as possible as they could. And they were good sources. They answered the questions and even added to the information that I was mm-hmm. asking for. It was a good experience. It was a painful experience, but it was a good experience.
Well, it's like when I got in a car accident in September. Mm-hmm. My first thought was, because it was a Monday night, we have deadline Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I was like, I have to be okay. The officer came and he pulled over and I was like, I have deadline tomorrow. Mm-hmm. First thought. Yes. I think it's just in our blood.
That's just the way we are as journalists.
Yep. So what do people not realize behind the scenes? What goes on?
Well, I think people think that what we do is easy. Mm-hmm. It's just all you got to do is just take a few notes and go and write it up. Yeah, mm-hmm. And some of it, I think they think you can just right off the top of your head. They don't realize that, you know, once you do that, you've got to go and you've got to digest that. You've got to go into it and delve into it. Really make sure that you understand what the story that you're covering and mm-hmm. information. And then write about it. For example, when most people go to meetings mm-hmm. And once they leave the meeting, it's all over. Mm-hmm. But that's just where the journalist work starts, is once that meeting is over, because you've got to go either back to the office or mm-hmm. if you're working from home, go home and spend some time. And it can depend on just how complex the story is as to how much time you have to put into it. So it could be a long night, in other words. Let's say you go to a meeting at 6 and it lasts to 7 or 8, then your work starts at that point. Mm-hmm. So you go either to the office or home, and then you start taking it apart and going back through the information. If you recorded the meeting, going back through your recording. Mm-hmm. If you took notes, going back through your notes and making sure that you got it all right and all down in your head, and then actually producing it. And I think probably one of the hardest parts is making sure that you get it right. Mm-hmm. You know, because we have to get it right. We're in a profession where a substandard is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. You got to get it right. So you want to make sure that you get it right. And as we mentioned earlier, when there are two sides, you want to make sure that both sides get their fair hearing or their fair writing mm-hmm. And make sure you get it right, you know, and accurate as possible. You know, that's one of our other big keywords in our profession is accuracy. We want to be accurate. So you want to make sure that you are accurate, that you're objective, you're fair, and you get it right.
No, that is so true. Because just getting the story right, because so many people read that story, form their opinions. Mm-hmm. If you have the wrong information, they're going to think something wrong.
Exactly.
And you just had a big trial, mm-hmm. one in October and the one in July.
Yes.
How did you cover that?
Well, like you say, it was a big trial. Mm-hmm. It was a murder trial. Mm-hmm. Two men who were indicted for the murder of another man. I wasn't here at the time that the actual incident occurred.
Mm-hmm. No, when did it happen?
Okay, it happened in 2016.
Okay. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about what happened?
According to the testimony at the trial, mm-hmm. there were three men who had been friends. But at some point along the way, that friendship deteriorated. And according to, again, the testimony, on this certain date, it's January 2016, two of the men were at the scene. And it's unclear as to exactly what happened mm-hmm. at the scene because, of course, you just got, you don't have the victim to tell his part of the story, mm-hmm. but you have the two defendants in the case telling that part of the story. But they were at a scene outside of Crockett, out in the county, on a county road and a U.S. Highway. The victim was shot several times. He didn't die right away. He was there and he was coherent and mm-hmm. enough to tell detectives who went to the scene, the deputies who went to the scene, what had happened. But then 2 weeks later, he died. So the two men, they were first charged with aggravated assault. Mm-hmm. But then after the death of the victim, their charges were up to murder. So fast forward 2 years this year, their trials were held. One, like you say, was in July and one just a month ago. And in the first trial, they found the first defendant guilty of murder. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who, according to the witness testimony, had the relationship that had deteriorated between him and the victim. So it was revealed that he fired a shotgun and shot the victim. Mm-hmm. So he was found guilty of murder. And then just last month, the second person was found guilty, not of murder, because he testifies one thing. He says he only fired his gun into the air. Mm-hmm. But deputies believe that he also did shoot the victim. But he was found guilty of aggravated assault rather than murder mm-hmm. because the jury just couldn't find that beyond a reasonable doubt that he had fired a shot that, mm-hmm. that caused the death of the victim.
Yeah. Like when you're sitting there hearing all of this witness testimony and what was going on, We're a weekly paper, so it's not like a daily, you go home and you write it. How are you preparing, like, in your head to cover the trial for the newspaper?
As it's going on, what's going through my head is, what is the most important thing that's going on? You know, because we're taught to start with the most important and then, you know, go all the way down to the least important. So that's my mindset when I'm sitting there, is what is the most important thing here as I listen to this trial? And since we're all weekly and we're not a daily, then we can do blow by blow or play by play, we have to, in a sense, kind of summarize a great deal of what is going on. And like I say, in summarizing it, it's like, you know, what in this floats to the top? What's the most important thing that's going on in this trial? And what is going to be the most important thing to report? And of course, testimony are part of the trial. The trial part of it, it's the most important thing is, what is the jury going to find? Would they find him defendant guilty or would they find him innocent? And then filling in how they came up to that decision. And then, of course, in the penalty phase of the trial, the most important thing, of course, is what sentence are they giving the person? And then filling in the details of how they got to that decision. So a lot is going through your head as you're sitting there listening. And you're trying to take notes and keep up with what's going on. But at the same time, you take a minute or two to jot down notes to kind of refer back to later to pique your memory so that you can record it correctly.
I loved my first day of work here was the trial was coming to a close with the first guy. And me and you worked together on getting a photo of when he was walking out with deputies.
Yes.
And not that I had a lot of fun, but I had fun like working together and planning that out with you.
Yes. So I enjoyed working with you then and, and I've enjoyed working with you ever since, Megan. You're a super editor.
Are you just saying that?
No. I am totally serious.
No, I appreciate you and I love working with you. I was last week because I also record a podcast, the East Texas News Roundup, with the fellow editors. And we were talking about you. And I was like, Alton is my backbone. And then Valerie, she's the news director for Polk County Publishing. She's like, can we just clone Alton? Everyone needs an Alton in their life. Oh, man. So I won't take too much of your time because I know there's things going. And Alton is leaving me for the week. So it's very sad.
Just 2 days.
Just 3 days.
3 days. Including the holiday.
True.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to future journalists or people who may just, like those young kids or the young Alton, just starting out on their career or thinking what they want to do? Like, what advice would you give them?
Well, start early and start practicing writing. I guess my first foray into newspaper was the sixth grade. In my school, the sixth grade class put out our newspaper. So we had to go out and be reporters and collect information and then write up our stories. That was my first chance. And I thought they were just so interesting. But, you know, it didn't just grab me out at once and make me decide to be a reporter. We did our sixth grade newspaper and then we went on about our business for the seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. But then in high school, I have a cousin who was actually studying English as a major but was taking some journalism courses in college. And so I got to asking her about it. And I said, I bet that just really sounds interesting to me. Then I got involved in our high school yearbook. And then true enough, when I went to college, it had got such a hook in me, journalism did, by talking to my cousin in high school, that that's what I decided to major in. But I guess my advice would be to get started early. Practice writing. Every opportunity there is to write. Whenever in high school, whenever there was an essay contest, I would write an essay to get in the contest. And I won a few of them. So that just kind of got me more and more interested in taking up writing as a career. But to young people, to, you know, just get serious about it and even do it for fun. And that may be best advice, is to just write for fun. And then, of course, once you get into the journalism program, you'll learn all details of what to do. But start early, get serious about it, take the opportunity to get involved in your high school or even elementary school and junior high school newspaper projects. Just practice, because you get better by doing it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. So just start early and take every opportunity that you can to hone your skills.
So funny thing, I started seventh grade was when I was introduced to journalism. I was on my newspaper team.
Yeah, it's great.
And then I was like, I'm going to be the editor.
And now you are. So how about that?
So fabulous. So outside of journalism, what are some hobbies that you like to do?
Well, currently my job leaves a little time for outside hobbies, but I enjoy sports. Mm-hmm. I enjoy sports. And actually, I was pretty decent at sports, you know, as a kid. I didn't get involved in through junior high, but I didn't get involved in high school sports, although I loved it. And an older brother of mine was a true athlete, so I enjoyed watching him. He was a baseball pitcher, the football running back and kicker, and so I enjoyed watching him. But I do enjoy sports, and I guess as a spectator is probably the best way to put it.
What do you like to watch?
My favorite sport, I know being from Texas, I probably shouldn't say this, but my favorite sport is basketball.
Okay.
Because I know Texas is a football state, and we love our football. I do like football a lot, but basketball is probably my favorite sport.
Who are your teams?
Well, Cleveland was my favorite team until LeBron went to L.A. So now I'm again an L.A. fan, which I was many years ago, because when I was a real Los Angeles fan, it was at the time that Magic Johnson was there, and he was one of my favorite players. And then when Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal was, you know, were there, I enjoyed watching them. Then they kind of fell off the radar. So I went with Cleveland. Now that LeBron James is back in L.A., the Lakers, I'm an L.A. Lakers fan again.
You come to the bright side. I love the Lakers. I was a Kobe fan.
Oh, yes.
When I lived in Utah, I was able to go to a Lakers versus Jazz game.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was in the nosebleed.
But still, you were there.
I almost got into some, like, fights with some Jazz fans.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was all about the Lakers.
Yes. Yes.
It's probably because my sister loved them, and I was just trying to be like her.
Oh, yes. I know what that's like. Yes.
Oh, man. So we'll just wrap this up. Where can people follow your work?
They can follow my work at the Houston County Courier, and that's either our online, our paper edition, our traditional newspaper edition, our online edition, and our Facebook page. So that's where they can find, that's where they can find my work in the Courier.
And Alton Porter, perfect name for a reporter. Anyways, well, thank you, Alton, for coming on the Southern Twang podcast.
Well, thank you. This wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was going to be. This was my first time.
Just conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have a good Thanksgiving, happy holidays, and I'll see you next time.